The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse number 7. You got to look at who's talking here in order to understand what's going on. This is the second epistle to the Corinthian believers at the hand of a man by the name of Paul. Paul penned over half of the New Testament. Paul is a writer of the major doctrines of the church. Paul is the one that God used in a mighty way. Now I want you to look at what the man Paul said. He said, "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation." What that means is he's saying, God didn't want me to be puffed up because of all that God was doing through me. He said, God was using me. God was touching me. And so God, so that I wouldn't be built up with pride. Brothers, you've got to understand what God is doing in many of our lives. God is using you. God is going to use you. God has a plan and is performing His plan in and through you. But we are people. And as people, we are prone to pride. We're prone to be lifted up. Prone to think that we're somebody. Prone to think that we're the cat's pajamas and we're the one that make the whole thing happen. We're prone to think that we possess the power. We're the ones that make this thing happen. And Paul said God will come to that and He will do something to you so that you will not be exalted above measure. What will He do? He says, "There was given to me a thorn in the flesh." The messenger of Satan, now watch this, to buffet me. Underline the word "to buffet me," the phrase "to buffet me," and out beside it, put the word "infinitive." Anytime that word in the Greek, it starts with the two-letter word T-O, it starts an infinitive. And basically what that means is it's an ongoing process. So here's what Paul's really saying. He said, "At some point there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to constantly be buffeting me, to constantly be on me." Now you've got to look at what it is that God has given to Paul. He says, "There was given to me a" what? "A thorn in my flesh." Anytime you read about thorns in the Bible, thorns are a picture of sin. You see, before the fall of man, there were no thorns in the garden. There were just roses. Before the fall of Adam, there were no thorns on the pines. There were no thorns on the trees. There were just simply flowers. You remember in the book of Song of Solomon, Jesus said, "I am the rose of Sharon and the" what? "The lily of the valley." Have you ever wondered why it is those two flowers were used to describe your Jesus? You realize that thorns accompany roses everywhere. You got a rose bush, you've got thorns. You got a rose bush out in the garden, you got thorns. But there is one kind of flower in all the world that is in the rose family that doesn't have any thorns. And it's a little group of roses that grow in the Valley of Sharon. And so the roses in Sharon don't have any thorns. If you've ever looked at a lily doesn't have any thorns. You know what Jesus was saying? "I am without sin. I am without guile. I am without fault. I am without failure." But you see, we do have sin. Do you remember when the Lord Jesus is on the cross? What did they put on top of His head? A crown of thorns. They put it on Him, a picture of their sin being placed on His brow. You know what? The reason you have pain, problem, trial, it's because of sin. You say, but preacher, I didn't do anything. I didn't say you did. I said the problem's coming from sin. Why does this happen to people? Sin. Why does bad things happen to good people? They live in a sin-cursed earth. Why do people have to deal with pain? Sin. Why don't we have... But I'm a good person. Ladies and gentlemen, God said it would be this way. He said, in the day that you eat of the fruit, you shall surely die. And any time we disobey God, there's always thorns. And any time the people around us disobey God, there's always thorns. But can I show you something I just saw? Never seen it before, and I just saw it. Paul, in verse number 8, he says, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it would depart from me. He said, I asked God, I begged God, I pled with God. I said, God, would you please take this thing from me? I can't take this pain. I can't take this trial. I can't take this issue. I can't take this hurt. Oh, God, give me strength. I can't take the sin. I can't take the pain. I can't take the trial. I can't take the heartbreak. I can't take what I'm having to go through. And three times Paul prayed, and three times God said, no. You're going to have it. Because, son, I don't want you to be exalted above measure. He said, but Paul, you've got to understand, my boy, I'm not going to make you go through that thing by yourself. I'm not going to make you live in that thing by yourself. I'm not going to have to allow you to have to go through that situation all by yourself. Somebody hand me a Bible right quick. Because he says in verse number 9, look at how the verse starts out with what word? And. It didn't say but, because if it said but or if it said yet, that would mean there would have to be a stop in the action. But it has a coordinating conjunction, the three-letter word and. You know what that means? Right alongside of that pain, right alongside of that thorn, right alongside of that issue. It's not going to stop, but hon, you're just going to look up one day, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. He said, my boy, you're not going to look up. You're not going to be able to find me. You're not going to be able to see me. You're not going to be able to see when I came in. You're not going to be able to see when I went out. You're not going to be able to see anything. You're going to be able to see that thorn. You're going to be able to feel that thorn. He said, but one day you're going to look up and you're going to realize that all along your path and all along your way and all along the thing that you've been dealing with, there has been grace. There has been power. There has been strength. There has been ability. You say, preacher, this thing's going to kill me. I know it may feel like it's going to kill you, but it hadn't killed you yet. You're still shining on this side. You're still walking. You say, it's going to put me in the grave. I know it feels that way, youngin. I know it feels like God's forsaken you. But what you don't realize is when you cannot feel the hand of God, you can trust the heart of God and know that the hand of God will touch your heart, because his heart has never forsaken you. He's never walked away from you. He's never done anything for you that you could do for yourself, but you've never done anything for yourself that only he could do, because in the pain and in the problem and in the trial, he was right there. He said, my grace. You say, preacher, how can I deal with the pain? Simple, the grace of God. How can I deal with the hurt? Simple, the grace of God. How can I go down to the grave? That's simple, the grace of God. How can I lower my baby into the ground? Simple, it's the grace of a three times holy God. You said, preacher, I don't feel it right now. God didn't say you would feel his grace. He said his grace would be there. You say, preacher, how is it that I can know that God is with me? That's simple, child of God. It's not because you feel it. It's not because you believe it. It's because he said that my grace, it is sufficient for thee. You say, preacher, I hadn't prayed in so long. Ladies and gentlemen, aren't you glad that God doesn't move just because when we pray or how we pray or who we pray to, but he moves according to his plan. He moves according to his ability. He moves according to his power. And he has been there. Now watch this. This blessed me. This is what got me. It said, my grace is. That's a present tense verb. You know what that means? It means right now. Right now. You say, I'm being buffeted, yeah? And the grace is present right now. You say, I'm hurting right now. The grace is present right now. You say, I'm hurting. I don't know what to do right now. The grace is present right now. Now, can I show you something else? It says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. You know what that means? It means that somehow in some way, that when I'm down on the ground and I'm down in my soul, God looks at me and He says, now boy, the reason you're not dead is because of my grace. The reason you're not getting up is because of my plan. I've got you right where I want you, in your weakness. And now that you're weak, I can be strong. And now that you don't know what to do, I know just what to do. And I've known what to do all along, but now you're willing to listen to me. Why is it we have to go to the grave? Why is it we have to deal with sickness? I don't know. But I can say, number one, God is there. Number two, you're still here. And number three, you are going to make it. You are going to make it. You say, preacher, this ain't blessing me this morning. It wasn't for you. God had it for somebody else. Ladies and gentlemen, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmity that the power of Christ may rest on me. Preacher, can you make the pain go away? Boy, I wish I could. I love my little sheep so much, I wish I could make all the pain go away. I wish I could make all the scars go away, and I wish I could heal all the wounds. But I'm just a little shepherd. And this morning, the only thing that I can do is walk up to your wound and pour in oil. All I can do today is tell you that the balm of Gilead is still flowing in the plains. The rose of Sharon is still blooming, and Jesus is still alive, and His grace is still sufficient. Why don't you just curl you up a little spot on this altar? Just say, God, I'm so broken. You say, I ain't never come down to an altar. It'll feel mighty good when you get down here. Why don't you come? We'll pray with you. Prayer warriors here at the church, let's get ready to pray with some of these folk. Come on now. Joshua, you sing for us, my brother. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Amen, youngins. Most gladly, therefore, y'all come on up into the choir loft. Y'all use these chairs. Make an altar out of these chairs in the choir loft if you have to. Yes, go on down the aisleways if you have to. Use down the side. You need to be born in the family of God. You come down this morning.
Take a Bible. Now saved, blood washed by the Lamb. My brother's a king, the son of Abraham. Sometimes I forget to whom I belong. Then the sweet spirit cries, my child, he's still on the throne. He's still on the throne. So what could be wrong? It's well with my soul. Let the stormy winds blow. I'm reminded today, thank God I am saved. sweet song while ages roll on. He's still on the throne. Oh, Satan has power, and sometimes I'm weak. There's times I give up, and he walks over me. Then someone comes by with words loud and strong. Arise, my child, it is I, and I'm still on the throne. He's still on the throne. So what could be wrong? It's well with my soul. Let the stormy winds blow. I'm reminded today, thank God I am saved. Salvation's sweet song while ages roll on. Still on the throne, so what could be wrong? It's well with my soul. Let stormy winds blow. I'm reminded today. Salvation's sweet song while ages roll on. He's still on the throne. Salvation's sweet song. Salvation's sweet song. Salvation's sweet song while ages roll on. He's still on the throne.
Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as I seek your holy, precious, and powerful face. And I thank you this morning for all that you have done. And I pray, O God, that you will have mercy. I pray, O God, that you will move. I pray, O God, that you will work. I pray, O God, that you will have strength in the weakness of our brothers and in the weakness of our sisters. I pray that your strength might be made perfect. Heavenly Father, we love you today. You're moving in the hearts and in the souls.